Welcome to Refresh, a podcast designed to revive, recharge, and renew your faith and give you the tools to follow Jesus. Refresh comes to you from the Salvation Army in Gwinnett County, Georgia. We meet in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or online on Facebook and YouTube at Sal Army Gwinnett. We are excited that you have joined us this week and pray that God will bring His Word to life. And now, for our speaker.
Well, it's good to see you all. Yes. Well, there I am. I'm alive now. There we are. Yes. Good morning. It's, I know. Now, if you're not from Gwinnett County, you may not have realized that this last week was spring break. And tons of families and tons of people went around and did travel in different places and different things. And it's so good to see you all back. In fact, my family, we were not here last Sunday. So I want to say thank you to Major Joanne for covering the pulpit while I was gone. But my family, you know, I'm not sure if I really have ever kind of shared this before or you know, made mention of it perhaps. But my family, we have a family goal. As you all know, that we, my son loves baseball. My daughter tolerates it to the best of her ability. But actually, she's really coming around to it. But we have a family goal of trying to visit all 30 Major League Baseball stadiums before Josh graduates high school. So that's the family goal. And so this last week, we went on our annual road trip to try to knock off a couple of more stadiums, and we did three this week. We went to Detroit, went to Cleveland, and then we went to Pittsburgh. And I want to tell you that opening day in the north is different than in the south. On the day we went to Cleveland, we woke up and there was white stuff on the ground. And I said, okay, let's go watch baseball. And so we were able to knock these three off, which put us at 15 stadiums. We're halfway there. But I want to just share you the most wild thing. I mean, totally unplanned, totally wild thing that happened while we were on the trip. We were in Pittsburgh, which I have to just say, as far as stadiums go, the Pittsburgh one is probably top of my list right now. That is a gorgeous stadium and city as well. But while we were there, we were just sitting in the stand, and I recognized someone in Pittsburgh. In fact, I want to show who we ran into. The Silers. We had no idea. And so there they are running up and down the steps all the way across there. And the Braves kind of jacket through, you know, kind of gave us a clue that he wasn't from around that area. But we were just coming up the steps, and there we go. There's Elijah and Ben. Okay. And so you never know. Gwinnett County's reach is wide. Okay? It's wide. But in all seriousness, it is good to be back with you. And I do say thank you for covering. Now, I want to just say what a beautiful service has been planned for us. And today is Palm Sunday. So this is, of course, the day where Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. You know, we usually wave the palm branches and we do all of these things, which we have today. And we kind of recognize and we want to focus on what that means to us, particularly going into this week. And I know the typical scripture pattern. In fact, you probably were sitting in your seat and you're saying, okay, Jill's reading the wrong scripture. No, she's read the right one. Because I know the typical one is the one of him entering into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. So I want you to stay with me here. So the scripture that I like to look at today takes us to a different entrance that Jesus had to go through first so that he could be prepared for when he enters Jerusalem. And so this morning, what we're going to be doing is we're going to actually be entering the wilderness. Now, our series we've been on for the last 6 weeks now, we've been on this series called 40 Days. And we've been looking at the significance of that number 40 in Scripture. You know, and we've looked at many different scenarios and cases and things throughout the scripture. But we're going to look today at a unique type of 40 days, one that we have not necessarily experienced just yet. See, so far, every 40-day story that we've dived into, that we've kind of gone into, has really been about really something similar, which is it's about an individual, someone, Moses, Noah, somebody, who is going into this kind of period of 40 days. And in that period, God is having an encountering with this person, and something is happening. Something's going to happen. It's usually going to be the outcome of Israel. It's going to shape their future. In case of Noah, it shaped the world's future, right? So there's been this 40-day kind of expectation that a person is going to enter into the presence of God, and there's going to be some type of shift that's taking place because of it. So usually, this is kind of the 40-day formula. So what makes this 40-day, these ones in the wilderness, any different? What makes these ones unique? Well, these 40 days, Jesus isn't going into this period, into his 40 days, to have an encounter with God. I mean, he is God in the flesh. He'd be just encountering himself in this case. But instead, is that he is intentionally, Jesus is intentionally entering into these 40 days, into what we would call the wilderness, to pursue an encounter with a different person. A person that everyone else tries to run, tries to hide from, tries to avoid, try to ignore, try to stay away from. And in this case, Jesus is actually pursuing after him. He's going into the wilderness in pursuit of this individual. Now, there are many names for this person in Scripture. John calls him the evil one. Paul refers to him as the prince of the air. But Matthew calls him by his Greek name. He calls him the devil. Translated in English as the accuser, or challenger, or opponent, or confronter. This is what it translates into, is that this person that Jesus is pursuing is actually the one who is in opposition of who he is. And so today, this is where our journey begins. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you now, and we pray over this Sunday morning. We pray for your discernment, Lord, and your scripture and your word. Your word is your living word. Father, we do our best to discern it and to translate and to interpret and to do these things. But God, in this moment when I'm speaking and your people's ears are open, Lord, may it be only the truth, Father, as you have written it. And that, God, I just pray over this time that when we leave here, that we have a full understanding and clarity of the word and what we're supposed to do with it. And so, Lord, this is our prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, before I jump in here, I just want to say, I'm going to grab a water. I think when I came back to Georgia, my allergies came back with me. Yeah. Apparently, they don't have many allergies up north, but they have snow, so it's a trade-off. You know what I mean? So if you see me dip for some water, it's just, that's what it is. So here we are in the wilderness, and we're diving into this. And I want to just say that as he's now pursuing into this period, this 40 days in this kind of wilderness journey, I want to make note right away that even though we know what this is going to look like, we have the scripture, we know what the story pans out to be, but what I want to make mention here is that Jesus, you'll notice that on the very first day, that after he was baptized, that after he received what his purpose was, and his father is, you know, happy, and he goes into the, you'll notice that he does not, on the first day of this wilderness, go and approach the opposition. He didn't just say, okay, listen, all right, everyone's gone. I've got some me time now. Let me go and handle this just really quick. And let me go and see this opposition. You know, he didn't just come in the wilderness and say, let's do this, you know, let's get it done. The scripture says that Jesus first, the very first thing that he did, when he went into this period, it says the first thing that he did is he went into a period of preparation. And this is interesting to me. So what did he do? What did he prepare? What were the things that he was doing? I mean, what does the God in flesh do to prepare for his time with the evil one? This is what kind of was leaning me in. I mean, this is really, at least in my opinion, at least what I think, is really worth paying attention to, is what does God in flesh do to prepare for the opposition? And so, it's interesting is that it's not like these two haven't met before, right? It's not like Jesus is going into the wilderness and saying, okay, I'm not really too sure what I'm up against, so let me go and just size out the competition. All right, let me just kind of go and see. It's not like going and just visiting baseball stadiums and say, well, those guys have better bats than we do. We better shape up or something. No, he knows exactly who he's up against. In fact, this is not the first time that these two are meeting. Jesus was actually there in the beginning when Satan was cast out of heaven. He saw this. He was actually in the garden with the Father when the serpent tempted Adam and Eve. He was there when the accuser questioned Job's faith before God. He was also there when Satan rose against David in 1 Chronicles and incited David to take a census of his military when God had instructed him to do otherwise. Jesus is no stranger to the devil. This is not foreign to him. So why prepare? What's different? What's changed? Why not just go to him right away? Well, this is because, at least in my study, this is because he's approaching him right now in something that he's never approached him before with. Flesh. He's God in flesh. You see, this is the first time, at least in what I can find in Scripture, where Jesus approaches Satan in flesh. So what does he do to ready himself for this encounter? The Scripture says that he fasted for 40 days. That's worth paying attention to. Fasting is a lost discipline in the church today. It really has fallen between the cracks. But what Jesus is doing here in Scripture, what we're reading in Matthew 4, is that Jesus is modeling, he's showcasing, he's modeling for us that the most effective posture for intense spiritual battle is fasting. That's what it says. That's what he's modeling for us. And we need to pay attention to that. See, I think I stand pretty confident when I say Jesus knows something that we don't. You see, he's connected to a spiritual world that we are still trying to fully comprehend, even at our best, with the Scriptures. But what we do know is that before coming up against the evil one, the opposition, the accuser against Satan, he knew that the flesh would be weak and that it would be subject to its own desires, so he fasted or denied the flesh desires. Fasting is the spiritual discipline. It's the spiritual discipline where you deny your flesh now so that it doesn't deny you later in battle. That's what fasting is. It's the discipline, the practice of saying no now, otherwise the flesh will tell you no in battle. Now listen, I want to kind of be clear here. I want to say that not every single spiritual matter requires fasting. That's not what the scripture showcases. Jesus eats plenty of times in scripture. Yeah, I mean, in fact, one of his most famous meals is the Last Supper. So it's not that every single spiritual matter or issue requires us to go into deep fasting. That's not what this is. But, in fact, I'll even say this, that sometimes the spiritual battles will just come to you when you're not even expecting it. You just have to be ready for it when they come, and then you have to go to battle. And that's a different sermon, though. But when you know that the only answer that you are looking for requires spiritual warfare, when it requires the spiritual warfare, fasting is the posture we take for battle. Fasting is meant to be reserved for the most serious of requests. At least that's what the scripture models for us. You fast if you feel that the evil one is pressing hard against you. You deny your flesh. You use it when you are seeking after God. You're seeking, Lord, for his voice, for an answer. And you're seeking after him. And you can't discern it. Perhaps there are too many voices, and you need to discern which one is his. Perhaps, maybe in your influence, your life, wherever you are a leader needing clear vision for your people. A clear way to move because you're responsible for the lives of others. You use it in intercession on behalf of others. If a loved one is ill, if perhaps you have a loved one who has strayed from the Lord, you fast on their behalf. You fast in this. Now listen, I don't have a magic number to say, do it for this many days and call me in the morning. I don't have that. There's nothing in Scripture that actually says or signifies, here, take this many fast days for this specific type of battle. It's not written anywhere. It's not in the Torah. It's not in the law. So there's no magic number on how many days. Now, Jesus fasted for 40 days, but that's because he had a heavy burden on his shoulders. The salvation of the world was on his shoulders. And he had to, in the wilderness, I truly believe that he had to deny his flesh at the most ultimate level then so that his flesh wouldn't turn on him later. And he had to continually deny himself. No, 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 no. But 40 is not the magic number. Where the battle is. That's not where the battle is taking place. I mean, if you've never fasted before in your life, I mean, you would start small. You need to start small with the denying, just the practice, the discipline. And as it goes on, then it becomes a different type of battle. The point is not to see how long I can go without eating. That's not the point. The point is to get into the practice of denying your flesh so that you can reconnect with the Spirit. Because sometimes, friends, I'll just be honest with you. We put a lot of stuff in our flesh, not just physical things that go in our mouth, but we put a lot of content in there as well. And we just keep stuffing it in, stuffing it, and stuffing it. And then the next thing you know, you're stepping on the scale, be it physical or spiritual, and you're looking at that going, wait, what has happened? I don't remember this. And you just kind of keep consuming. And so fasting is getting into the practice of denying your flesh. No, you can't have that. I want Him. I want the Lord. I need His voice. And we can't do, we kind of get drowned out from it. Now, I'm going to also tell you this, is that fasting shows the enemy the seriousness of the battle. Okay? Now, we're crossing into dangerous territory. I have to warn you now. Is that when you assume the posture for battle, the enemy is going to take note. It's showing him the seriousness of your request, of your battle line. So I must warn you that if you go into this posture, you better expect that the enemy will show up. But do not be scared when he does. Don't be scared when he comes. He shows up because he wants to see how serious you really are. How serious are you? You're doing something you've never done before, I see. Let's just see how serious he is. He's going to come. He's going to be there. But fear not, because the Lord is with you. He is with you. You see, the enemy cannot take what is not his. He can't take it. He's not showing up because he can take what is inside of you. No. He's showing up to see how easy is it for you to turn your back on God. But he cannot take what does not belong to him. This is why he only has one battle tactic. This is it. The enemy only has one thing against him. Only one. In fact, it's the same tactic that he used against Jesus in the same scenario. You see, Jesus did not belong to him. So he only has one thing. And what that one thing is? Temptation. That's his weapon. That's his only tactic that he can throw our way. It's just this heart belongs to the Lord, but he can throw temptation our way. I mean, honestly, if I'm speaking, it's a brilliant tactic because he places the entire battle on you. Yeah, I mean, gosh, he doesn't even have to lift a finger. He just dangles a carrot sometimes. But make no mistake, he is very good at what he does. If you remember, if you eat from this tree, then you will be like God. He's very good at what he does. He's not some beginner, I assure you. But my friends, this is why when we're going to battle, we fast. You see, the same discipline that we have used to deny our flesh when we are fasting is actually the same discipline that we use to deny the evil one. We're first practicing it on us so that when he shows up, you're easy. No. It's the same discipline. When the battle begins, and assuming the battle posture has been fasting up to this point, he is usually going to present the easiest of the temptations first. Okay? Listen, from what I can see in Scripture, I feel that we can kind of look to see what he's going to do to us. You see, when we're in that posture of fasting, and he comes in, and particularly if it's your first time, you've never done it before, I'm kind of navigating through this, he's going to show up, and he's going to present first the easiest temptation to fall to. And it's not going to be anything crazy or something like wild or anything like that. It's going to be really, because you see, the only thing that he needs you to do is to stop fasting as fast as possible. That's what he needs you to do. He knows that when you're fasting and when you're in the discipline of denying yourself, he needs that to stop. Quit denying. No, I need that to stop. So here's the first temptation. He's just going to want you to eat. That's it. He knows you're hungry. Of course you are. Goodness gracious, if you've never fasted before, you get hungry. Like, that's part of the process. And so the first temptation is he's going to show up and he's just going to say, have a piece of bread. Like, goodness gracious, you know you want the Hershey chocolate bar you've been saving in your drawer. I know you've been eyeballing it. And so, listen, I mean, this is going to be the first temptation. He did the very same thing to Jesus. Same thing. He knew that he needed to end the fast, especially after 40 days of fasting and being connected to the Father. The enemy said, that has got to stop. And so he says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Tell them to become bread. I know you're hungry. I know you're hungry. There's no sense to do this to yourself. Just eat. Eat, and then we'll have a conversation. We'll talk. We're reasonable people. Just eat something. But we must stay strong when this temptation comes. Because Jesus replied, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I'm connected to the Father, Satan, and you can't stop it. But let me be clear. Let me tell you this part as well. Fasting is not meant to be forever. Okay? It's not meant to be like, okay, I fast 9 months out of the 12. Right? That's not what this is. No, no, no. It's not meant to be forever. It will come to a stop. There will be a period, a day on the calendar, where the fasting stops. That happens. But God will give you that time, not the enemy. He will reveal that. In fact, my advice is this. My advice would be to enter first, if you're going to fast, if you have something you want to bring before the Lord, and you want to enter into this posture, I would encourage you to first enter into a period of prayer before the fast. And what you're seeking for, what you're asking guidance and clearance for, is, God, how long do you want me to fast for? Ask him. And go into this period with him and let him reveal what this battle is going to look like. And then I would also encourage you, if you've never fasted before, let me encourage just to go and maybe do some research on just fasting techniques. Right? I'm going to tell you now that maybe right now you have something in your life that you're needing to battle. And you're thinking, this is great. I'm going all in. 39 days, because Jesus did 40. I'll do 39. I'm going to tell you, that's going to be rough. And you may not be a nice person. If you've never fasted before, listen. Kind of take some time in prayer and then do a little research and let the Lord speak to you. It's okay. It's okay. Now, if you're still holding strong to the fast, so now we've got to that part. He's fasted for 40 days. And let's say you're holding strong to it. You've battled it. He's presented it. Hey, get something to eat. And you said, no, I'm not going to eat. Right? You've held your strength. Now, at this point, the temptations will change after the first one. Because once he sees, oh, you're serious. Usually the bread thing will get you. And so now he says, you're serious. So the temptations after this point will change. It will become less and less about the fasting, and it will become more specific to what your battle is. Now he's going to hone it in just a little bit more. You see, and this is going to be unique to your battle. He's going to make it you. If you are battling, let's say you're in this space, you've denied him, no, I'm not breaking the vow, I'm connected to the Lord. And if you're battling for the soul of a loved one, with someone in your family who has strayed from the Lord, someone who has gone, the enemy will then come. And he will say, the enemy will tell you that they will never come back, that they have strayed too far away from the grace of God, that they've crossed the line, and that there is no return home for it, and that the temptation of giving up, the temptation of wanting to just throw in the towel will get stronger and stronger. But you remind him of the faithfulness of the prodigal son's father, and that you too will be waiting for the return. And you've already prepared the fattened calf, and it's going to be right there. Tell him that. Tell him that he doesn't have that over you. Your battle, my friends, might be to seek clear vision because you're a leader. I look out to so many of you and all these leaders sitting here in our congregation, of your families, your workplaces, your departments, whatever it is. All these leaders, and you may be seeking, Lord, I need vision. What do you want me to do? Well, how am I supposed to lead these people? How do I lead my family? And you're seeking after this. And you're going to go into this battle. And the enemy will tempt you to exchange your integrity for personal gain. Especially if your integrity will cost you something. He'll ask you to just throw it out of the window. But you remind him of the protection that God gave Daniel in the lion's den because of his integrity, or the protection that was given to Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the furnace because of their integrity, or the protection that was given to Ruth, for she would not go home and she stayed when it was hard. This is where the battle will go back and forth, back and forth. And it is going, my friends, to be a battle. It's a battle. He shoots, you shoot. I mean, this is how it works. It's a back and forth game. But this is where your faith is put to the test. This is where it's put to the test. We read about that in Scripture. We read about all the, you know, Paul writes about putting your faith to the test. This is the moment. This is it, putting your faith to the test. This is where you are in the lion's den, where you are in the furnace. For Jesus, his battle, his unique battle, I may add, was against pride and power. You see, two more times in the wilderness, Satan came to him, the back and the forth, came to him. He took Jesus to the top of the temple, and he told him to jump, or to jump off. He even quoted Scripture. Yeah, he'll do that. He'll quote Scripture. And he quoted the Scripture that if he was to jump, the angels would come and protect him because the scripture says they would. And so he said, jump. It was a test of divine pride. That's what it was. He was putting his divinity to the test. He wanted him to use his divinity, his all power, his spirit, whatever you want to say. He wanted him to use that at the very first sight of pain so that he would use it again on the cross when the pain was unbearable. But Jesus rebuked him. For it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. He then took him to a high mountain and he offered him the hardest temptation to turn away. Kingship over the world. Skip the cross and rule next to me. Power with no pain. I can give this to you. All you have to do is just bow to me. No pain. All power. And the only response that Jesus gives the evil one is, away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the scripture says that at this, Satan left him. Did you catch that part? Did you catch that? It says, at this, Satan left him. Friends, that is actually what will happen to you as well. When we are in the battle, when we're going back and forth, and we are sticking, connecting to the Spirit, that we are all in on this battle. We're not backing down. Satan, you don't have this over me. And when we tell him, away from me, Satan, the scripture says that he left. He fled. He's gone. And then the scripture says that the angels came down and attended to him. They weren't there for the wilderness, friends. They weren't there. They were holding his hand as they were going up against the enemy. It was the battle of faith, of denying ourselves. Listen, we spend a lot of time saying that God has the power, has the ability to have all of these things to get us out of the wilderness, to get us out of the thing that we're trying, that we're struggling, and he can do that. But I also want to let you know is that God absolutely wants us to battle sometimes against the evil one with our faith. And not just saying, Lord, can you get this for me? Can you handle this one for me? Sometimes it's, no. I need you to battle this one out. I need you to battle this one out. Your faith is in a position. Your posture has been calling for the battle. Now fight. Fight against the evil one. Because at the end, if you stick strong and your feet are planted, he will flee and you will grow. So before, there could have been the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Before that moment took place, there had to be the humble entry into the wilderness. Because the wilderness, the place of self-denial, is where we are closest to God. It's where our deepest battles are fought. It's where we walk in one person and we walk out someone different. Friends, I want to tell you today that some of us might be looking for our Jerusalem moment, going into the holy city. Our eyes have just been focused on that as the goal. When I will tell you that there are times that God is calling us into a posture of battle in the wilderness. Perhaps it has been a very long time since we have denied our flesh anything. Or it could be that God is calling you into a period of fasting. It could be that we need to deny our flesh now so that it doesn't deny us later. Being in the wilderness is not a bad thing. That's not bad. Being in that space isn't bad, because what it means is that God is near. He's near. And so perhaps it's time for you to prepare for battle by first surrendering to Him. Let today be your man does not live by bread alone moment. Let today be your away from me, Satan, moment. And so the call is simple. Come if you want to take on your posture for battle. Let's sing this chorus together. And the altars are open, but perhaps it's time that we go to battle. Jesus, I surrender all to Him. I free. Trust. Probably really want to do that. But here's the thing. It's coming either way. This spiritual battle that all of us are engaged in will come to us regardless. We must be ready and we must be prepared for when it does. There are going to be times in life where the battle just shows up on your front door and you just got to figure it out. I just got to go. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going to wave my arm like this though, you know, and you just got to go. But there are periods in our life where we could be proactive and we can say, actually, we're going to take this time and we're going to enter into a posture for when the battle comes. Let's sing the second verse again. Thank you. Father, we just come and just pray now over the scripture that was shared today, Lord, your word. That, Father, we cling not to bread alone, but to the words, Father, out of your mouth. Father, I pray now, if there's anyone in this room or in this space, Father, that they are entering into this posture, if they're engaged in battle right now, that, Father, that you come and your power and glory fall upon them, that the spiritual connection, Lord, be made evident. And that, Father, that there are any of us today in our space here, online or in prayer, it doesn't matter, but Lord, if there's any of us who need to take that first leap of faith and go into this period, Father, then I just pray your discernment and your wisdom as we do that. So, Lord, we take this Palm Sunday to remember your first entry into the wilderness. And so, Lord, I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's just sing that chorus one last time. I just have one last thought I do want to share with you as we're going into this week. And so I leave you with this final thought. Jesus was tempted three times. And each temptation started with the words, "If you are the Son of God, then do this." I believe, now this is where Captain Paul is taking his discernment and interpretation. I believe that the wilderness for Jesus was to deny his flesh so that he could stand strong against those words, because he will be confronted with them one more time. And when he does, those words at that time will offer the same temptation that they did in the wilderness: a way out. For it will be on the cross, while fighting for air in his lungs, a voice from the crowd will shout, "If you are the Son of God, save yourself." The last and final temptation, to which Jesus' response is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." May we all prepare our hearts as we now enter into Holy Week.
Thank you for listening to Refresh. Be sure to hit subscribe and like us on Facebook and YouTube to never miss an episode. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share it with your friends and family. We pray that you will be refreshed and ready to take on your week. See you next time. God bless.